This morning, I want us to pray. I want us to pray. But before we pray, I want to share something with us. It was sometime last year that I posed a question to the church. I don't know if you were here, but if you were not, I'll just fill you in. I posed a question to the church. I said, if you were God, what would you do? What would you do differently? What would you do differently? You know, and there were a lot of things that people wrote. Some of them I'm going to share with us. One of the things that somebody wrote, and I just laughed. I said, this is a smart person, you know. And by the way, if you were looking at right or wrong, you know, which is not what I was looking for, but if you were looking for right or wrong, then the wrong answer would be anything other than this. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you know God for who he is and everything he stands for, then you shouldn't do anything differently from what he's already doing. Understanding that God is omnipotent, omniscient, you know, he knows everything and he does everything well. The Bible tells us he's a righteous and a just God. So if indeed he's a righteous and a just God, and you are given the opportunity to be God, and you want to do something different, then it means you don't believe in that God right now. But you see, that question was really a trick question. And I'll tell you why. The motive of me posing that question is to know the values that people stand for. To know the things that are important to you as an individual. So anything you said you were going to do, you know, is what is important to you. Amen? That means that one thing that you want to do differently is something that is so heavy on your heart. And if you have power to change anything, that is what you will fix. The vast majority of people wanted peace. Peace. And I'm going to read them in a little bit. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the ones that are not about peace yet. You know, just so that you see what is on people's minds. And there are no names. You know, you will only recognize this is you if you are the one that wrote it. So I don't even know who wrote this. Say, if I were God, I would give everyone in America their automatic citizenship. Praise the Lord. Automatic citizenship. The Lord will do it. In the name of Jesus. You know, and there were some others that were very, very vindictive. You know, people said, if I were God, I will make sure everyone that doesn't obey me, I deal with them. I show them who is God and who is not God. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to read those ones. You know, but there was a few people that said that. You know, that make sure the wicked, they really suffer. But somebody else wrote this. And I like this as well. It says, if I were God, I will open the eyes of the Muslims to know Jesus is the God they are looking for. That's a good one. That's a good one. There was another one. Well, there's a bunch of people that talked about feeding the hungry. You know, and you and I both know that that's one of the things that the Lord has really impressed on our hearts here. And then there's another unique one here. In fact, this is the only person that wrote this. And that's why I'm going to read this to you, because it pertains to me. It says, I will bless pastors and preachers with wisdom to impact. I don't know what the rest of it says, but you get the gist. You know, it says, to impact onto. No, don't worry about it. But we will pray for God to bless pastors. So I know with this person, I am blessed. In the name of Jehovah. But let me read on peace to you. Well, there's another one here that says, open the eyes of unbelievers. Amen. Another one says, if I was God, I would bring peace to all mankind. Eliminate the need for money. Said, another one says, if I were God, I will try to make peace one world. And these are not people that, you know, ask themselves questions. They just wrote. Another one says, if I were God, I would make world peace and bring my brother to life, provide for everyone in the world. Another one says, if I was God, my important thing would be to have world peace and love and to believe in me as God, you know. But world peace, peace is what I want us to pay attention to there. Another one here says, peace in the world. Another one says, let peace reign in the world. Another one says, I will enforce peace in the whole universe. If I read some of the other ones, you'll be like, what? Create peace all over the world. End poverty, world hunger, world peace. World peace, equal opportunity. No rich, no poor, no sickness. And another one says, if I were God, I will grant the request for there to be peace in Palestine and Israel. Change Russian president. No, change his heart to love God. Help Nigeria to love each other and turn to God. And finally, this doesn't really speak to peace, but I like this, what this talks about as well. Say, if I was God, I would give second chances. I would visit all people to remind them about heaven. I would also make sure the devil does not take those that are mine. You know, so these are very important things that people have written, you know, and it shows what is important in people's hearts. It shows peace is something that people are thinking about and probably talking to God about. So this morning, I want us to rise to our feet. You know, the Bible says that God will give us peace that passes all understanding. That is the word of the Lord. So as peace is important to us, peace is also important to God. You know, and there's the scripture I love very much. It's either 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians 3:16, I believe. Please check, look it up real quick. You can do 1 Thessalonians 3:16 first of all. If it's not there, we'll look for the other one. Quickly, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Or anybody, if you see, you can read it. It's not 3? No 3 in 1st? No 16? Oh, okay, 2 Thessalonians then. 3:16. Help me out now. May the Lord of peace himself... give you peace, always, by all means. You see, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always. That's very important. This is the word of God. It means God himself wants you to have peace, and he doesn't want you to have it sometimes. He wants you to have it when? Always. Say, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always. And listen, by all means. That is serious. By all means simply means by all means. It means whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. He will give you peace. Amen. I say he will give you peace. He said the Lord be with you all. So I want us to pray this morning. Pray for yourself. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your family. Pray for the church of God. Pray for nations around the world. Pray for Nigeria. Pray for your country. That God, the very God of peace, the God of peace himself, the Lord of peace himself, that he will give you peace always, that he will give me peace always, that he will give his church peace always, peace in your marriage, peace in your career, peace in your family, peace on the job, peace in school, peace all around, that the very God of peace himself, the Lord of peace, give you peace always and by all means, in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you lay before him this morning everything that troubles your heart, everything that has troubled your heart, lay it before the Lord and say, Father, your word is true. Your word is yea and amen. Your word is yes and it is established. You said you will give me peace. You will give me peace, not sometimes, but always. Father, give me peace, O Lord. Jehovah, give me peace, O Lord. Lord, you are the one that can solve the issues of my life. You are the one that can take care of the issues that troubles my heart. Lord, if I could do it, I would have fixed it by now. But Lord, you are the Lord of peace. You are the Lord of peace. Daddy, look on us today. Look on your church today. Look on your people today and grant us peace. Grant us peace. Grant us peace in our career. Grant us peace in our business. Grant us peace in the name of Jesus. Maritally, grant us peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' matchless name, I have prayed. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. But thank you, Lord, because you are not man that you will lie, neither the son of man that you will repent of what you have said. That simply tells us that whatever is you have said is a done deal. Therefore, Lord, tonight, this morning, I pray for peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your word says you will give us peace, not just sometimes or most of the time, but always. Jehovah, give us peace. The peace that passes all human understanding, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. And Father, as we look into your word of life this morning, Lord, let it be illuminating to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may please be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. So last week we started a sermon series. And we talked about the love of God for us last week. And if you want to give this series a title, you can call it A Case for Easter. You know, because what we're trying to do, I want it to be abundantly clear to us at the end of this series, the reason why Jesus had to come. When I say a case for Easter, I'm not saying a case for Easter celebration. The reason why, because Easter is all about the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, yes? It's not about the rabbit trails. It's not about the bunny and the egg hunt and all of those things, no. Those are things that men have invented, you know, to satisfy their own need, their own quest for these things. So we're looking at the case, why, a case for why Jesus had to come. So we established the love of God for us beyond reasonable doubt last week. How many people believe that? If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't believe yet, my prayer is that the Lord will convince you as we go along. God loves us and there's no doubt about it. If you open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8 from verse 35 to 39, Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39. The Bible says, and I read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, who will separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You see, it's not even talking about the who yet. It's talking about the what. He said, will tribulation, distress, he said, even though we are troubled on every side, even though we are hemmed in on every side, he said, nothing can take away the love of Christ from us. Nothing can separate us from the love that the Father has for us. So even though I'm going through, it does not change the fact that God loves me. Do you know that sometimes God will not deliver you from the trouble, but he will deliver you in the trouble? Amen? Sometimes he does that. And it's his own prerogative to do whatever he has chosen to do. Praise the Lord. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, is asking a question. Will distress, what will take you away from the presence of God? Do you know most people, when they are troubled, when they are hemmed in, one of the ways you will know is they quit coming to church. Praise the Lord. The very place where we can get help, the very place where we can receive a word from above that will set us free completely, is the first place we stop going. And then on top of that, they get so busy, they cannot pray anymore. They are so busy, they have to fix stuff, they have to take care of stuff, they have to get up and go, and they are so troubled by the situation, they can't pray. They can't read the Bible anymore. The very things that can bring about deliverance. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things. Somebody say, in all these things. Oh, say it like you mean it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. It's the second time the love of God is mentioned in that text. It said we are more than conquerors. So I may be going through, it may be rough, it may be difficult, but God is for me. Hallelujah. I say God is for me. And God is for you. If God be for me, who can be against me? That is what the scripture says. Amen. He said, because he loved us. Because he has loved us. Verse number 38. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, even death, the threat of death, even death, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. Amen. God loves you and I beyond what words can describe. Amen. And by his actions, by the things he has done and the things he has put in place, we really can tell of the love of God for our lives. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, the same chapter 8 and verse 1, it says something that I want to encourage us by. This is not really what we're talking about today. This is just to get us started. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Bible says, in spite of the persecutions and the tribulations and all of these things that may come our way, it says, there is no condemnation for you and I as long as we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? And being in Christ Jesus is where we are going today. We are looking at the nature of man. And this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, begins to lay down for us what we'll be talking about. Look at this. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That tells you that there are two basic natures, two basic attributes of the nature of man. And how you choose to live is what determines whether there will be condemnation or there will be no condemnation. He's saying there's an option to live and walk after the flesh, and there's another option to walk after the Spirit. But what I just did is I just jumped like 10 minutes into the sermon, and then we're going to retrace our steps back to the beginning, and then we'll get to that point again. Please open to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to jump verses here, because the point that I really want to make is I want us to see a very important truth, As we talk about the nature of man today, I want you to know that everything in life is sustained by its source. I'll say that again. Everything that exists in nature is sustained by its source. And when you look at Genesis chapter 1, well, it's good to see my name on the screen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. In verse 11, the Bible says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The Bible says God commanded the earth to bring forth vegetation. That is why a plant cannot live outside of the soil. If you take a plant outside of the soil, that plant will shrivel and die. Everything in life is sustained by its source. God spoke to the earth, and the earth brought forth the vegetation. And that's what we see there. Verse 12, we see the commandment of God being obeyed. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Let's jump very quickly to verse 20. We're trying to establish a case for everything in life, amen, everything in life is sustained by its source. Verse 20, the Bible says, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures, amen, and the fish. In verse 21, the Bible says, God created whales and every living thing that creeped that were brought forth abundantly from the waters. Amen. The moment God spoke, the Bible says the great whales and all the fishes, they came and they began to swarm and swim in the sea, in the water. A fish out of water has no life. It dies. Everything in life is sustained by its source. Everything in life is sustained by its source. We're looking at the nature of man. We're trying to understand what the nature of man is and what the source of man is. In verse 24 and 25, we see the same thing. The Bible says, God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle and the creeping things and the beast of the earth after his kind. And in verse 25, it was done exactly as God has said. Everything God created till today, they are still connected to their source. The cattle, they eat the grass. They still go back to the earth for their sustenance. Everything in nature is sustained by its source. Everything in nature is sustained by its source. When you jump to verse 26, you will notice the way God created everything so far is by words. He just spoke them to be. Let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed, and it was so. And then he spoke to the waters. He said, let thee bring forth abundantly moving creatures in the water, and it was so. He spoke, the birds were created. And then he said, let the earth bring forth the cattle, and so on and so forth upon the earth, and it was so. When it came to the creation of man, here's what God said. Verse 26. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image. He didn't speak him forth. That should give you some comfort. Amen. I'm better than a cow. Hallelujah. Oh, I know you love your pets. You know, some people have dogs, some have cats, but I'm better than a dog. I'm better than a cat. Why? Because it did not speak me to be. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. I have news for somebody today. You say, oh, God is not visible. You can't see God. If you want to know what God looks like, take a good look at me. Because I'm made in his likeness. I'm made in his image. Amen. He made you and I in his own image and in his own likeness. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Number one thing I want you to note, and this must be something you keep at the back of your mind as you continue to live, and the Lord will keep you for many years if Jesus does not come back. Amen. Number one is you must understand that when it came to creation of you, God did it special. Your nature is, I did not evolve from a monkey. No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, do I look like a monkey to you? You see this package, you call this package monkey looking? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding. Amen. I did not evolve from a monkey. God made you and I in his own image and after his likeness. You must know that. The second thing you must know is that after God took time to form you specially like that, he did not leave you in the same lot as the animals. He gave you and I dominion. Dominion. He gave us dominion over everything that he has created. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Let's jump to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 now. Talking about the actual creation of man. We're talking about the nature of man, don't forget. I want you to stay with me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." Listen, please look up. Look up. The other things God had created, he spoke them to be. When it came to your turn and my turn, there's a difference between forming something and just throwing something together. He formed man. It means it took his time. That is why, I'm sorry. I know this is America, you know, and some of you may disagree with me. Till tomorrow, I really cannot understand plastic surgery for real. Listen. People that, you know, have been in some tragic situation, you know, burns and things like that, and they have to do reconstruction surgery. I can understand that. You know, since I was little, I've been very conscious of my nose. I think people used to tell me it was fat. But do you know, God made it as fat as it will be best for the size of my head. Amen. My ears. You know, you see some people, they said their ears are like wings. I said they said, not me. But when you see those wings are perfect for that head. Amen. I will not waste resources to fix anything that God has put together. I like this. I like me. I love God that he made me the same exact way he has made me. I don't want to be darker. I don't want to be lighter. I don't want to be taller. Less fat. I added the hair. Okay, the fat I added. And I'm working on it. Don't tell me you can't see the difference. I know, I check the scale every morning. But when it came to you and I, he formed us. It means it took his time. That's why one of my favorite scriptures, by now you should know it, Psalm 33 verse 15. It says, he fashioned their hearts individually. When it came to the creation of man, it was a personal thing. When it came to the creation of the fish of the sea, the Bible says he spoke it and in abundance they came to be. When it came to me, he said, okay, now it's time to make Abby. I really like to use my own example. Let's say Abby. He said, now it's time to make Abby. I'm going to put her this way. She's going to have a gap in her tooth. And she's going to, you know, those are the things that the husband will see today. He says, smile again. If it's a problem to you, it's not a problem for her, and it's not a problem for her husband. Hallelujah. God took time to form us. It took time to form us. And then the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You see, this is really where we're going. This is really what talks about the nature of man, the nature of you and I. You see, when God formed man, he was like a sculptor. A sculptor working on a piece of wood, metal, whatever. He made the sculpture. At the end of the day, you look and say, this is good. This is good. But guess what? It's lifeless. It's lifeless. There's two main attributes of man. The material and the immaterial. The material is the flesh. And that's the part he formed from the dust of the ground. Amen. I don't want to get into any theology here. Oh, is it dichotomy, trichotomy? Don't worry about it. But understand that there are two attributes. One that is seen and one that is not seen. And you will see that the one that is seen, even though beautiful, I see all our pretty faces today, that is the flesh, that is the body. That is the body. But it was absolutely useless and could not accomplish anything until God breathed into it. And when God breathed into it, the Bible says he became a living soul. Let me, without going into any too much Hebrew and all of these things, but the word breathe that the scripture talks about there is neshoma. I'm not saying it right, I'm sure. But what it means is this. It means spirit. 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 Until the Spirit of God came into man, man was dead. Man was dead. You know, so every one of us, we have two natures, material and immaterial. The material was formed from what existed on the earth. The immaterial came from the core of God. That is why you and I are different from animals. That is why you and I are not the same as dogs and cats and parrots and what other pets do people have. We are very different. We are very different. It's a problem if you love an animal more than people. It's a problem. I don't care if it's your pet or somebody else's pet. But friends, every human being has a spark of God in them. Because the only reason we came to be and become a person is because of the breath of God. It's because of the Spirit of God. Amen? And sin is this. Sin is a separation from God. Thank you. Sin is what? A separation from God. Any man that is living in sin and is not regenerated is living by the flesh, and their spirit is redundant. Going back to our beginning opening statement, I said everything in life is sustained by its source. That's why we need food from the earth. But more than the food from the earth, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God to feed our spirit so that our spirit can be strong and can rule our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Friends, there is a day that we're going to reconnect back to this God, and there will be questions answered about what we have done with our lives. The flesh, listen to me, once we die, it doesn't matter whether you put the dead body in a golden casket. It really doesn't make a difference if you put it in a platinum casket, that body is going to rot. In fact, if you left the body on the street to rot, it makes no difference. Whether you put it in a hole or you leave it on the surface, it really doesn't matter. Because that flesh goes back to the earth one way or another. It's going to decompose. It's going to degenerate. But the spirit is eternal because it came from God. And God is going to ask you, the real you, the real me is what? My spirit. My spirit. The real you, the real me is my spirit. Many people take quality time to take care of their bodies. That is good. That is good. We can't begin to preach and teach hygiene in church. We can't do that. It wouldn't be nice. You know, we can take care of that on our own by ourselves. Amen. So we take care of our bodies. We even do makeup to accentuate the beauty, to make us look even much better, to make us look more attractive. Have you thought about your spirit lately? How beautiful is your spirit? Is there any beauty at all to that inner man, that man inside of you, that real woman, that real man inside of you? Is he malnourished or is he well fed? He says the dust will go back to the dust and the spirit will what? Return unto God who did what? Who gave it? Who gave it? These are the two basic attributes of man. When man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, what happened was the spirit of man was separated from the presence of God. And man became a wanderer. Man began to go up and down, trying and doing all kinds of things to appease God. Listen to me very carefully this morning. Listen to me. The reason we need Jesus is not because we lack good works or because we are immoral. Every man, woman, born of a woman is born a sinner. You know why? Because that spirit has been separated from God. You know, I thought of doing some things today, but I said, oh, don't let me be talking over people's head. You know? Because the illustration I have for this, how many people here are familiar with molecular biology? Molecular biology, genetics, and stuff like that. Just a few. You see, that's why I thought maybe my... But listen to this. Listen to this. Do you know... Listen to this. Do you know that the pancreas produces insulin? Yes? Okay, that's a simple one. We know about diabetes, right? The pancreas produces insulin. Yes, it produces insulin because there is a gene in your DNA that codes for insulin. Have I lost anybody? No. Okay. Do you know that gene that is in that DNA in your pancreas, in the cells of your pancreas, do you know that gene exists in the cells in your eye? You didn't know that? Yes, it does. Because your DNA is a simple DNA. It's the same DNA in all the cells in your body. The same DNA gene exists in your brain cells, exists in your muscle, but your muscles don't produce insulin. You know why? Because that gene has been turned off. That gene is turned off, and because the gene is turned off, on and on switch, because the gene is turned off, therefore the cells in your mouth will not produce insulin. Even though they have been wired, they can produce it. Amen? The same thing with a man that does not know God. He has the spirit of God, but that spirit is turned off. And for that spirit to be turned on, he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. So there's two attributes. Praise, give glory to God. Give glory to God. And sin is exactly what turns the spirit off. Have you noticed? A born-again believer that begins to practice sin, guess what? They are dulled to the things of God. If they were active in the church, oh, they were in the choir or they were in some kind of activity group, they begin to withdraw. You know why? Because the spirit is turned off. And because the spirit is turned off, there's no excitement any longer about the things of God. The reason they were excited is because of the gene that was turned on. The reason the pancreatic cells, the beta cells in the pancreas, can produce insulin is because the genes are turned on. The moment the genes are turned off, that gene can no longer be expressed. The same way a believer that is living in sin and the spirit is turned off cannot express the nature or manifest the nature of God any longer. That's why the Bible tells us, Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to round up here. Galatians chapter 5. If you are the type that takes notes, you can draw two sides, the flesh and the spirit. 5:19, please. 5:19. Say, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Listen. If you find yourself practicing this stuff, it means you are living by the flesh, not by the spirit. It means the gene, the spirit, sin, because this is sin right here, has turned off the spirit in this individual. Remember, it says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those that walk in, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. Are you an adulterer? Fornication. Are you a fornicator? Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders with the words from our mouth, drunkenness, oh, a little wine doesn't cause any problem, revelings and such like. Listen to this. It's telling you the list is endless. It says, and such like. Anything that relates to anything that has been listed is the work of the flesh. And if the Spirit of God is not alive in you, you'll be giving expression to the works of the flesh. Let's jump to verse 22. He said those people can never inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22 now. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So if the Spirit is turned on in you, like the off and on signal that I talked about, it means these are the things that you should be manifesting. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. If you see someone that is vindictive, always causing trouble, always angry, always, you must question whether the Spirit of God is alive in them. If you see a proud, arrogant person that cannot be corrected and supposedly a Christian, you must question whether the Spirit has been turned on or turned off in them. When you see yourself behaving out of character, then you must ask yourself, am I still in the Lord? The Bible says, let everyone, every believer, from time to time, ask himself whether or not they are still in the faith. Amen. Please rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. I want us to lift up both hands to heaven this morning. It's a mark of surrender. Say, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. The nature of man is what we talked about. And we see there are two attributes of the nature of man, the material and the immaterial, the flesh and the spirit. Amen. The spirit is of God. The flesh is, it desires things of the earth. It desires things of the earth. Amen. Animals. Animals have sex unrestrained. You are a human being. You are better than a dog. You are better than a cow. I'm better than a dog. And so are you. You should be able to exercise restraint and say, no, I am not married. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it is not a fruit of the Spirit. Say, help me, Jesus. Talk to the Lord for yourself. Talk to the Lord. Don't mind anybody on your side, anyone to your right or to your left. Don't mind them. Don't mind them. Don't mind them. You just propose and talk to God today. Propose and talk to God today. And say, Lord, rid me of every sin that is quenching the spirit inside of me. Lord, I confess all of my sins today. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to live by the Spirit of God. I want to live by the Spirit of God. I want to live by the Spirit of God. I want to live for you, O Lord. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, mighty God. Help me, mighty God. That the flesh will not have dominance in my life. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion in our lives. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree with your word today. Sin will not have dominion in my life. Sin will not have dominion in my life. But the Spirit of God in me will have dominion, will take preeminence in the name of Jesus. I will walk in the Spirit. I will walk by the Spirit. I will feed my spirit in the name of Jesus. Le karadaba shekatalia bade yanderebo jenima sontalia bragadia bagada jeba katakata le pakara jeba koradaba kosokotolia ragada. Oh Lord, that I may manifest, that I may manifest the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Brethren, I want to give you a charge today. On your own, study each of the work of the flesh and study each of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. And if your spirit, your heart has convicted you today, you need to do something about it. Don't say it doesn't matter. I got it. That was a good word. Or I don't know what was up with Pastor today. It was not as funny as it normally is. I don't know what thought is going on in your mind. But friends, the Spirit of the Lord is here today. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. This is our season of restoration. God wants to restore you. God desires to restore you. Will you yield yourself to Him? Will you yield yourself to Him? Maybe I have a couple of, I'm out of town, but I want to take a couple of minutes. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, can you please agree with me? Just come quickly. I'm just going to take 2 minutes and I'll be out of here. So if you don't come in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to have to give it up. You know, but I want to agree with you. I want to agree with you. That no longer will the flesh dominate, but the Spirit of God will dominate in your life. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Shepa karada bakuso kotolia. That the Spirit of Jehovah will dominate. The Spirit of God will dominate. The Spirit of God will dominate. The Spirit of God will dominate. Hallelujah. That whatever it takes, the Lord will turn on His Spirit within you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. And I'm sorry we've taken a little longer than I was scheduled to take. But my prayer for you today is that God will restore you. God will restore me to the original estate that He intended for us to be. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, blessed Redeemer. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.